Ah, that was fair to middling, all right. I want to get more than that out of you. If you love having church, shout hallelujah. Now turn around, look at the person next to you and say, if you're not careful, I'm going to teach you how to dance today, all right. Yes, I will. It is good to be here. My goodness, haven't we felt the Holy Ghost already? Yeah, go ahead. You oughta. Enjoyed the worship, enjoyed everything that is going on. It's an honor to stand in, well, it's not a pulpit, all right? To stand where I'm standing, all right, with Pastor, all right? Now, this is the only time that I have to submit to him, okay? It's because I'm the speaker, he's the pastor, so I have to say, yes, sir. No way, Jack. Hallelujah. But it is an honor. I have been doing this a long time, and I have never yet got to the point that I take for granted stepping in anyone's pulpit. It is an honor to preach the Word of God. God could have chosen anybody to do it, but He chose me when I was 14 years old, just a couple of years ago. He allowed me to do what I do and have been doing for quite some time. I'm not going through a lot of preliminaries. I just want to get into the Word. Is that all right? Now, I looked at my watch a while ago. I don't know if you guys are used to getting out at 12 o'clock. If you are, you're going to be very upset with me, okay? All right, I'm not a 12 o'clock preacher. When you step into a pulpit, people automatically wonder, how long is he going to preach? I just sell it right up front. I let everybody know, that way they're comfortable. A lot of people like to be comfortable. I preach 15 minutes, all right? 15 minutes. Don't clap. I'm not through yet, all right? Okay? 15 minutes, but the thing with that is sometimes I preach several sessions of 15 minutes, okay? Amen. I have gone as high as 8 sessions of 15 minutes, okay? You say, do you feel like you're going to do that today? Yeah, I kind of feel that. No, that was in Arkansas when Bill Clinton was governor, okay? And they needed all of that time. But no, I want to obey God. Say, obey God. Amen. And I want the Holy Spirit to have His way today. And I know that's what Pastor wants, and I know that's what you want. Let me put the top back on that, okay? If I don't, it'd end up somewhere else. But I want to do what God says, and that's all it is to it. I will give you, I'm not sure I will give you everything I've got, but I'm going to give you what I can over the next few minutes' time. But there's a scripture that I read, and the Holy Spirit reminded me of it a few moments ago prior to most all places that I preach. And this scripture, I preface, whether it's a conference, camp meeting, or whatever, I preface the sermon with this verse of scripture. And the Holy Spirit reminded me of this verse for a specific reason. And so I'm going just to read this. It's not on the screen. If you want to throw it up there, fine. Don't feel like you have to. But David said in Psalms 107 and 20, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. It did not say He sent a preacher. It did not say He sent a personality. It said that He sent His word, and that word healed them, and that word delivered them from their destructions. Now, this is what I get from that. I believe in the laying on of hands. I believe in the miracle power of God. I believe that He still heals people. But I don't believe that I have to touch you for you to get healed. I don't believe I have to lay hands on you for you to get healed. Now, I believe in that, and I've done it for multiple thousands of people over the years. But what I've come to this reasoning from this scripture is that when I'm preaching, or your pastors are preaching, when the Word of God goes forward, you can be healed sitting right in your chair. You can be delivered sitting right in your chair. That is what God is saying. Why did he remind me of that today? Because there are people that are sitting in this service that God is going to give you a miracle. It's not going to be a personality. It's going to be the word of God that is going to say, hell, you bothered them long enough. Hell, it's time to step aside because my word is setting free that one that is bound or that one that is held in captivity. The word of God will heal your body, set you free, lift you up, and cause the devil to get on your backside instead of in front of you. Give the Lord a hand clap if you believe that now. Woo woo! Look at somebody and say, the Lord can give you a miracle. All right, no doubt about it. So when the word goes forward today, expect your miracle. Now, let me say, I'm so glad my wife is with me. All right, now they're seeing me. They need to see you. Would you stand up? Oh, this is Gloria. I love her. She stuck with me for 45 years this year. And it's been such an honor, all three of our sons. We've got to spend these few days together. Alex's wife and little baby and a daughter didn't get to come with us, but it's just been a joy to have our kids. This is the first time we've got to do this in a long time, and we did it right here in Wasco. I just think that's special. All right, to spend time with our kids. But a few weeks ago, I don't remember most of my devotion. For my own personal benefit, is at about 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning. There's something about the morning that is my time with the Holy Spirit. And I was sitting, my mind was really on this church, what I was going to be ministering, because I'm a firm believer that I don't go into generic preaching. There's not a sermon that I preach that I feel like I've got to preach it everywhere. It's not that I don't repeat sermons, all right? But I believe that every place God sends you, there are specific needs. There are specific directives. And so my mind was in that or on that in the devotion. And so I said to the Lord, Lord, you know, I really want to know which direction you want me to go. And my mind had been on that, and I began to study. I got into a certain part of the Word of God that if time allows, I've got to get to it. But as I got into that part of the Word, it's like the Lord dropped into my spirit these words, giving up is not an option. Amen. Look at somebody and say, giving up is not an option. I'm going to come back to that in just a moment. But if you would please take note of Matthew 16 and 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you have tribulation, distress, suffering. But be courageous, meaning be confident, be undaunted. Be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. I like what the Amplified says here. My conquest is accomplished. And this jumped out at me yesterday. My victory abiding. All of a sudden, that word abiding stood out. And what I saw that I had never seen until yesterday is that his victory lives among us. It was not a one-time victory. It was not a one-time deed. He said, no, that's not what it was. He said, I have accomplished the conquest. And because I've accomplished the conquest, I have produced victory. But that victory was not a one-time occurrence. That victory is abiding. In other words, whatever you're going through, whatever you're faced with, whatever the devil is trying to do to you, to your household, the same victory the cross produced is your victory today, right here, right now, now this moment that victory belongs to you. Hallelujah! I'm going to be honest, I get a little Pentecostal sometimes. I may have gray hair, but I still got pep in my step, child. Hallelujah. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Jonathan said something about announcing me coming and said, we're going to see if it's going to be that suave California dude. All right, or that Pentecostal. Well, get this. I am Pentecostal from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. I still dance. I still talk in tongues. And if you bother me, I'll take off running just a little bit. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you're that quiet kind, I'm going to shake you up today, child. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at somebody and say, there's nothing like victory. Yeah, I got all right. I run out of time and won't even get off of the introduction. All right. Let's pray. I got to pray. Father, thank you for the word. You're allowing me to stand in the pulpit of another pastor. It's such an honor. God, don't let anything that I say confuse, disrupt, or produce destruction. But let what I say bring revelation knowledge. The men can understand and know that you're yet still God. I thank you for an abiding victory. I accept the fact that in the world there are tribulations. Though we often say, Father, we're in it but not of it. We have to put up with what goes on in it. But I thank you that victory is abiding. So over the next few minutes time, allow me to show that there is no giving up. It's not an option. Matters not what goes on. And everybody said, amen. Give the Lord one more hand for his word. You have many options in life. Everyone that is sitting here today. Options that often dictate the decisions you make. But one thing is for sure. For the child of God, giving up is not an option. It's not a choice. I've often said two of the greatest things that God has given us is choice and will. We control both of them. We make choices. We decide whether to abide in his will or not abide in his will. Every single day you face a choice. Every single day there's an option placed in front of you. It doesn't matter who you are. And now let me preface some of this with this. I'm going to sound a little negative as I step into it, but sometimes you've got to deal with the negativity for people to understand the need of the power to come out of what you're in. And so bear with me for a moment. Jesus said in this particular verse that I read that in the world you'll have tribulation. In the world you'll have distress. In the world you'll have suffering. How many of you can relate to that statement? And maybe even here lately, you can relate to that statement. Okay? These are not words that most of us want to hear. But with all that is going on in our lives, it is something that we often must face. Today, if you find yourself drained, disillusioned, empty, or weary, welcome to the battlefield. That's just the way it is. In case no one has never told you, there are no rose-tinted glasses that a child of God wears. Everything will not turn out the way you want it. There are going to be times of weariness. There are going to be times of trouble. There are going to be times of confusion. It really doesn't matter who you are. Many today in and out of the church feel that they're hanging on the very precipice of hopelessness and defeat. This is becoming a common way of thinking and even feeling for many in the church. This includes those who, but a few short years ago or possibly months ago or even weeks or days ago would never have accepted or entertain the thought of giving up or surrender. And yet I am finding that there are many Christians, Pentecostals, Baptists, Methodists, it's irrelevant what tag you place on yourself. They're feeling like it's hopeless. There's no way we're going to overcome what's going on in our lives, among our children, or in our nation. Well, this morning, I want you to know giving up is not an option. Not for a spirit-filled child of the living God. It's not time to quit. It's not time to surrender. It's time to put our shoulders back. Look the devil in the eye if we must and say, greater. He said, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Hear me, church. I'm not a loser. I'm a winner. I'm not defeated. I'm victorious. I'm not going down. I'm going up. I'm going to make it. I said I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. And nothing hell can do will alter that declaration. Giving up is not an option. This morning I want to bring to your attention, as time allows, a two-part message. Now if I said that to my congregation in Fenton, they would say, two-part? Okay, 4 weeks. All right, it'll take him 4 weeks because my parts really get to stretching out when it comes to some of this. But I've got about 15 to 20 minutes here to pack a two-part message in. But I want you to get what the Holy Spirit has brought to my attention. First of all, I'm going to deal with five facts. I'm not going to get too bogged down in those facts, but they're things that I believe that we need to know, where we can always choose the option of not giving in or surrendering. And then part two, I'm going to bring to your attention what really stirred this in my spirit several weeks ago. I'm going to show you the man who will not give up. Look at somebody and say, that's me. All right, or the woman. Some of y'all didn't do that. Am I on? Amen. Turn around and look at somebody and say, that's me. All right, now y'all stay with me. Let me help you here. If you don't amen my message, it will take me twice as long to preach it. I felt like that would stir Wasco up, because if you don't amen me, I will amen myself. Double time, all right, because I believe in what I'm saying, okay? Can I get a witness? All right, let's deal with some facts, okay? Now, some of these, do not become offended. Just take it for what it is, because it's facts that you have to deal with. Fact number one, for the person to overcome whatever they're going through, first of all, it is inevitable that trials are going to come. Battles are going to come. Temptations are going to come. The sooner we accept that fact, the better we can be prepared to experience victory. Get what I'm telling you. You know, you may be a dancer, a shouter. You may be the person that every other word coming out of your mouth is scripture. You may be the Jesus kind of person, you know. Yeah, I don't know if y'all have any of those in Wasco or wherever you're from in this area, but there's certain people that I call on the phone. And when I call them, the first words out of their mouth is, well, hello, and God bless you. Isn't it a spiritual day today? There are days that that's okay, but there are days that I want to scream back in the phone, what planet are you living on? All right? Because I don't always wake up spiritual. I don't always feel like hallelujah out of every breath. There are times I don't even feel saved. You say, but you're a preacher. What does that have to do with anything? Preachers are the ones that get hit first. God calls us to preach. He says, okay, front line of the battle. I'm giving up the preaching part, all right? We're the first one hell goes after. But let me tell you something. I don't always feel it, but something in me called the Word of God rebukes that idiocy and says, you may not feel it, you may not think it sometimes, but the blood of Jesus Christ has cleaned you up, and you are a blood-bought child of the living God in spite of what you're going through. Amen. Well, I don't call them back too often. But nonetheless, I've come to this understanding. Being saved doesn't mean I'm not going to have problems. So I accepted a long time ago. It's inevitable. I'm going to face temptations. It's inevitable. I'm not always going to feel saved. It's inevitable. I'm not always going to feel like this overcoming child of God. Though I do believe what goes on behind the doors of my home is one thing. What I project when I step outside of the doors of my home is another thing. I may be facing hell. I may be going through trials. But brother, when I step into a lost world, they've got to see I'm handling it. I'm overcoming it. I'm going to be a light in the midst of darkness. I won't give up, give in, give out, or give over. I'm going to be a Christian in the face of the lost world. Fact number two, the worst thing we can do in this life is to live with a victim mentality and not as a victor. That was kind of like an echo. All right. Let me say that again because this is very important. The worst thing we can do in this life as a child of God is to live with a victim mentality and not as a victor. That's better. When our view of life, the Christian life, is one that is continually filled with defeat, depression, anxiety, oppression because of what others are saying about us, thinking about us, or doing to us, it's time for a transformational moment. Amen. Can I get another amen? Get what I'm saying with this particular part. If you're not careful because of everything people say, you live with that victim mentality. You feel like someone is always out to get you. You feel like someone's always out to hurt you. I found out a long time ago as a child of God, you develop thick skin, especially if you pastor or if you evangelize or missionary or just a child of God. Because get this, not everyone likes you. Get this, not everyone is ever going to like you. There's always going to be people that doesn't like your hair, if you have any. There's people that don't like your smile. They don't like the clothes you wear. Then most of the time, they'll tell you. But then every now and then, you run across somebody that won't tell you. They'll go tell someone else because they know that someone else is going to tell you. But you live with that victim mentality. Someone is out to do something to me. Someone is out to hurt me. If you're not careful, that becomes a lifestyle thought. You live your whole life in fear of what people think or what people say. I'm going to climb into that a little bit more in the next fact. But you know what? When you begin to develop that kind of outlook, you need a transformational moment. And according to the Word of God in Romans 12:2, Paul gave this directive that you probably know. Be not conformed to this world. And the word conform there means to comply with rules, comply with the standards, comply with the laws of this world, or behave according to the socially acceptable conventions or standards of the world around about you. In other words, don't be fitted into the mold of the world. Get this, I'm not of the world, I am of the world that is to come. I have no desire to prove that I fit into this world. Get this, I don't fit in, because I am a saved child of the living God. If I fit into the world, I will not fit into heaven. Be not conformed. Don't worry about that. Here's the transformation moment. Be transformed. I like the definition of the word transform. Make a thorough or dramatic change in the form. Isn't that what the word says? When you become a child of God, old things have passed away. All things become new. Now, I can't spend a lot of time on this, but let me say this to you. If you're a child of God and the devil is continually bringing your past up to you and you're continually wallowing around in what you were, he's controlling you. In God's eyes, the day you gave your heart to the Lord, there ceased to be a past. Your past was done away with. All things became new. It's irrelevant to what you were prior to birth. It's irrelevant to what you were bogged down in before you became a child of God. God doesn't even remember your past sins. God doesn't even remember what you were. Drug addict, alcoholic, prostitute. God doesn't remember it. You say, how can he not? Get this truth. Get this truth. The reason he can't is because he chose not to remember. You see, within the infinity of God, he is a God that is all-knowing. But when it came to the blood of Jesus Christ that was given as a sacrifice for us, God chose not to hold your past against you. He had the ability to do it, but he chose not to do it. Hang on to your head, honey. If God chose not to do, and you're like Jesus, you will also choose not to hold anybody's past against them, because they are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Give the Lord a hand clap. That's the truth. That's the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth that the church needs today. I've been offended by a lot of people. You know, it's just part of the territory when you do this. But you know what? I choose not to allow offense to control me. I choose not to let anger control me. I choose not to let the past. It's a choice. You choose not to. Why? Because his presence is more important to me than the idiotic words of someone who doesn't really know me. All right, because if you know me, it's to love me. Amen. So I'm not going to let that happen. The word transform means to make like new, to restore to freshness. Look at somebody and say, I can tell by looking at you, you need that one. Hallelujah. Freshness. Fresh. I've watched people over the years come walking into the church. They forgot the scripture that says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I watched people walk into the church, not a whole lot at Messenger because of where my office is located, and I wait to come out on the pulpit after they've done the opening. But I see it from the, not on the platform. I don't go there anymore either. All right. But I see people coming in, and they look like they just, excuse the Alabama expression, they look as mean as a junkyard dog, I'll tell you what. All right. And they're just sitting out there acting like, okay, just bless me if you can. All right, type stuff. Okay? And they need some freshness. The Bible said enter his gates with thanksgiving. It said to enter his courts with praise. So when you come in those doors griping, you've disobeyed God. When you come into those doors, oh, it's too cold in here. It's too hot in here. My Lord, he loud, ain't he? All right? So you come in with all these complaints, you're disobeying the word of God. When you walk in the doors of his house, you come in thanking God. I'm saved. I'm Holy Ghost Ghost filled, and I even believe in being sanctified. Hallelujah. I'm a sanctified Holy Ghost filled, our running devil kicking foot stomping child of the Lord. And by the time I get in here, get down, Jack, we're going to have us some church right here, right here, right here, right here, right now. Yeah. Yeah. All right, let me calm down. I'm starting to see the whites of some of your eyes. Is that his daddy? Hallelujah. Yeah, I am. Jonathan's been in ministry all of his life. When he was born, I was on the road. We were traveling all over the country and lived in a bus with all these different rooms. And when Jonathan was born, he was, what was it, baby? He was 6 weeks when we put him on the bus, or 3 months or whatever. All right. We didn't have a place for him to sleep. We just hung him out the window. No. That's why he acts like he does. All right. But nonetheless, I got to respect the pastor. He's the man that's going to hand me a check later. Hallelujah. All right. No, no. I started to say I'd do this for free, but I'm not that dumb. Hallelujah. All right. So I'm not going there. No. No. Whatever how old he was. Okay. Sister Rhodes and I had the deluxe room. Okay. It was John Rhodes and the Fellowship Revival Team. I used to preach all down through Central California, okay? I know you folks. I know your background. I tell you, back when I first started coming, Arkansas and Oklahoma didn't have anybody living in them. All of them would come to Central California. Hallelujah. But nonetheless, Jonathan, just a few weeks old, we didn't have anywhere to put him. So guess what we did? We had to pull out a Chester drawer. Somebody likes you. Hallelujah. He had to sleep in a Chester drawer his first night on the road. He never complained. But I had a hard time sleeping. He was down at our feet. The chest of drawers was our foot. Our room was about a 6x8. All right. That's where you should have said, ah. Stay on top of it. Hallelujah. All right. No. I kept waking up thinking, oh God, don't let me push the chest of drawer closed. Don't let me close the drawer. Don't let me close the drawer. All right. Okay. So he basically grew up in ministry. All three of the boys did. It's all they've ever known is ministry, whether we pastored or whether we've done road meetings or whatever we've done. It's just been part of their existence. But folks, you know what? I pray they've always understood that God's house is a house of praise. This is where we praise. It's not where we gripe, we complain. It's where we experience freshness all the time. Amen. Aren't you glad you can come to a church that the Holy Spirit is moving like He moved in your worship? Those are few and far between. You better take my word. I have been in 49 of our states. I have preached in places around the world, from China to Haiti, you name it. I've been there. I preach there. When I show up in a place to where worship starts and people throw their hands up, and I was sitting over there and I felt little goosebumps start rolling down this body. All right. I say, okay, God, we done got ourselves a real one now. I thank God for a church that lets the Holy Ghost have His way, because that's what makes us who we are and will keep us going. All right? Let me get on. Okay. I'm just on fact two. I got five plus the man that wouldn't give up. We're going to be here a little bit. We've got be you transformed by what? Renewing of your mind. Look at somebody and say, you don't need a recap. You need a renewing. See, that's a problem. A lot of people nowadays in the modern church, there's no renewing of the mind. There's just a covering over of the old. Recap. You see, back in those bus days, we could put recaps on the back. We couldn't put them on the front. All they did was take new rubber and put it on old rubber. But you get to going down an interstate fast enough, what does it do? the old, all right, and the new separate, and the new goes flinging down the side of the road. What is God saying? God is saying when you really get to that point, don't be conformed to what is going on in the world. Be transformed. Transformed is to be renewed in your mind. In other words, God does not just recap and put something new on something old. God goes in the very beginning and he rebirths, and new birth takes place. You are not a recap. God made you brand new. And the amen, give the Lord a hand clap, because that's what this is really all about. Okay, let me move. Fact number three, when we are governed or controlled by these accusations that come from the mouths of people, all right, we take on that victim's point of view. It's time that we begin to see that what others say, what others think or do is not the problem. We need to see and embrace what Jesus has done for us. It doesn't matter what anyone else says. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. As long as you know who you are in the Lord, you're in good shape. As long as you're settled in on your own position in the heavenlies, you're all right. Yeah, they may be fixated on something that happened 10 or 15 years ago. You know what? That's their problem. Let them get over it. You've already got over it because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And so we don't need to develop what I'm calling here, that particular attitude of feeling like we can be controlled by the victim's point of view. We need to see and we need to embrace what Jesus has done for us. Fact number four, we are what we eat. Thank you for the echo. We are what we eat. Whatever you take in is what you become. How many of you eat a lot of vegetables? How many of you eat a lot of donuts? Kind of figure that. All right. I eat a lot of chicken. I'm a chicken eater. I found out something real good this week at the hotel. They have breakfast over there. They had these little bitty waffle dillies. All right. But they had syrup and coconut and almonds. Let me tell you something. Now, this is free. I'm not going to charge you for this knowledge. Get yourself a waffle. Pour syrup in all the little holes, and then put coconut on top of it, and then put almonds on top of it, and then dribble more syrup on the top of that. Take you a bite of that. It'll make your tongue slap the top of your head totally sideways because it's so good. All right. I kept telling Eric and Alex, y'all need to try this. And I done made up my mind, when I get home, I'm going to buy me some waffles. All right. And some coconut and almonds. That's one good thing I got out of Wasco, is something that helps me out. Hallelujah. All right. You are what you eat. What I'm saying is you become what you take in. Now that applies physically as well as spiritually and emotionally. If you're not careful, you begin to understand that the words of people are controlling you. We must quit allowing people, circumstances, situations, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Snapshot feed into us information that undermines who the Word of God says we are. Hallelujah! Get this. According to the Word of God, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not just a conqueror. I done climbed over into that thing of being more than a conqueror. I'm not defeated. I'm not a loser. Hell has no hold on me. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm a part of the high priesthood. I am, my God, an heir of God. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm blood bought, blood comer, blood covered, overcomer. Ho, 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 ho. It didn't stop there. Brother Paul said in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. I love this, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God's already got you figured out. God's already got your life figured out. And God's already got good stuff in front of you. Go for it. Go for it. Don't let the world control you. Let the Word of God control you. I was doing a teaching on Wednesday night. Sister Rhodes and I have only pastored two churches, one in Mississippi and one in Missouri. We've been there 28 years where we are now. And but in Mississippi, Columbus, I was doing it might have been a Sunday night, don't remember. But I saw this lady walk in, and she kind of watched every move I made, and which is not always that easy, okay? But she watched me at the end of the service, and I'd prayed in the altars, and the Holy Spirit had moved, and it was one of those unique services, and people were just laying all around on the floor out under the anointing of God. I kind of take offense at this thing called carpet time, okay? I don't. And if you like that, go for it, all right? I just get knocked out in the Holy Ghost, hallelujah. And so that had happened that night. When the service was over, this lady came up to me, and she said, "Can I talk with you?" And most of the time I would go into the office and have someone to go with me or whatever. And I said, "Okay, yeah, she's a stranger. I didn't know her." And I said, "Yes." And I said, "Go for it." She looked me in the eye without smiling, without doing anything. She looked me right in the eye and said, "You are Satan personified." I didn't know whether to say thank you or get mad. Because back then, I didn't know what personified meant. Later on, I went and looked it up. I wish I could have found her. I'd have knocked her out. Hallelujah. Amen. Call me a devil in person. She meant every word of it. She said, "I watch you controlling these people. I saw what you was doing. You're Satan personified." Okay. All right. Bye. All right. Thought running through my mind, I'm not in control, lady. I don't have a thing to do with this. If you're going to blame anybody for this, blame God. Number one, these people are not controllable. Most church people are not, are you hearing me, son? They are not controllable. Just love them and pray to God that you don't leave them every Monday. All right? Amen. Don't do it. Okay? But you know what? I know who I am. I know what I have. And I know that I'm saved. She could say you're Satan personified all she wants to. But if she had felt what I had been feeling about 10 minutes earlier when I'm laying hands on those people and the Holy Ghost is flowing through that crowd of folks, she'd have got herself saved. Are you hearing what I'm telling you? Don't let what people say about you. I don't care. Let Sister Bucket Mouth run her mouth all you want to. You're a blood-bought child of God. Yeah, you're going to mess up. You're going to make some mistakes. But you know what? That's what grace is all about. Grace doesn't save you, but grace is God's power given to you to keep you saved and to bring you back to the cross every single time. I'm not into greasy grace, but thank God, amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved Makasatai, that saved. Oh. Yeah! I said, yeah! Shout hallelujah for grace! Don't let people regulate and rule and run your life. You see, all these are things that keep us entrapped into this loser mentality. Now, fact number five, if you want or need to overcome something, endurance is the key. Everybody say endurance is the key. All right. The word endure without spending a lot of time. To undergo especially without giving in. What am I saying? Giving in is not an option. Giving up is not an option. It's just not an option. That word endure is to not give in, to remain firm under suffering or misfortune without yielding. Matthew, Jesus said this in Matthew, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Look at somebody and say, that's me. I'm waiting. Look at somebody and say, that's me. Stay with me. It must be past 12. I'm losing. Oh, dear Lord in heaven. All right. Oh, my Jesus. They say time flies when you're having a good time. All right. Amen. Will you give me 10 more minutes? Give me 10 more, and then I'll take 10 so I get 20. Hallelujah. All right. Now, let me tell you about a man named Bartimaeus. And I've got the scriptures, and if you want to throw it up there, I'm not going to read all of it. Just throw it up there. I just want to allude to the story. Here's a blind man, been blind all of his life. Now, the interesting part of this, there's several different things, but I don't have time to cover them all. Jesus had been ministering around Jericho, and according to the word of God, he comes out of Jericho. And as he's leaving Jericho, with it is his disciples, and the word of God said there was a great crowd. There was a great crowd around him. Now get this, he was leaving Jericho, but his destiny was not to a blind man. He merely was passing by where the blind man was, where the blind man was begging. You say, what is the significance there? This is the significance. He was not going to the blind man, but all he had to do is to pass by where the person of need was, and he was willing to meet the need of the person. Amen. You see, we're caught up in this. Jesus show up in this house. Jesus show up in the, I don't care where he's going. If he'll just pass by here, I'm going to get what I need. I'm going to reach out. The little woman with the issue of blood, Jesus, when she went out through that crowd and touched the hem of his garment, Jesus wasn't going to her house. He was on the way to a wealthy man's house to heal his daughter. But he passed by where the little woman was, and she said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. What am I saying? In other words, she didn't wait for the miracle to come to her. She took the opportunity when he passed, and she went after her miracle. She went after whatever she needed from God. So this is the same concept here. He's coming out of Jericho. He passes by Bartimaeus, all right? And get this, very, very quickly. He's a blind beggar, son of Timaeus. He's sitting by the wayside. When he heard that it was Jesus, notice something. He began to shout. He began to shout. Look at somebody and say, the man in need was a shouter. I'm the quiet kind. You ever get a need, you learn how to shout when the right one goes by. All right, the man in need became a shouter. Now notice this. He's shouting. In other words, he's raising his voice. He's getting carried away. And he shouts, Jesus, thou son of David, help. Help! Help! You say, that's not in there. I just felt it. It should have been. Help! Pity and mercy. Oh, I love the word mercy. Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. That's for another time, if y'all ever let me come back. All right. Mercy on me. Now, and many severely censured and reproved him, telling him to keep still. In other words, many said, shut up! I found that interesting. You know why? All this bunch telling the loud mouth to shut up was the ones that had been following Jesus and seeing everything he was doing. Okay? Now, in my opinion, they should have been louder than the blind man. They'd seen miracle after miracle, heard word after word, but undoubtedly they were not people of need. The person of need shouted, the people without need said, shut up. Now this is where Bartimaeus and I really flow good together. When they told him to shut up, Bartimaeus like, in your face, turkey. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that Bartimaeus cried out the more. What did he do? He got louder. Now listen to what I'm going to tell you. There are people that tell you that you don't have to shout. You don't have to praise. And there's even some theology going around, even in our own fellowship, that you don't have to speak in tongues to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm not here to contradict anybody on anything other than I don't believe that. It started in the upper room when the Holy Ghost came. People talked in tongues, and there's something about that that says to me it's just as relevant today as it was then. But what I'm saying is that there are people that sit around you, prayerfully not here, that if you're not doing things the way they want them do it done, if you get a little loud or you get a little emotional, they don't want you to get too loud because you will embarrass them or you will stir up or you'll do something. But Get this. If your need ever becomes great enough, if your need ever becomes a need that no one else can meet, and all of a sudden someone that can meet it comes walking by and someone tells you to shut up, you know what you're going to do? You're going to cry out the more. I won't let you stop me from praising. I won't let you stop me from praising. I won't let you stop me from dancing. I won't let you stop me from shouting. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I am a child of God. Give the Lord a hand clap, because that's what it is. All right. I'm my 10 minutes is almost up. Bartimaeus was sitting by the wayside. He was sitting there. He cried out. First time Jesus didn't stop. Second time he stopped. Why did he not stop the first time? Ask him when you get to heaven. Personally, I believe Jesus wanted to see if Bartimaeus wanted it enough not to let people control him. See, Jesus will let you stay where you are if you let people run your life. So he cried out, and Jesus stopped. Aren't you glad that you can stop the Son of God? I mean, he stopped the Son of God. Now, Bartimaeus was sitting there. A blind man has two things of value, all right? This is not a good cup, but I forgot to bring anything else. He had a cup, a container, to where his needs that were to be met would placed in the container, okay? And then he had a robe or cloak, garment. That garment was of tremendous value, because in the summertime, the garment was his shade. In the wintertime, it was his warmth. He could not have stayed where he was without the garment, without something to take in the resource. He couldn't have done it. And I've been in Israel quite a few times, and around Jerusalem it snows and it's very cold and all that kind of good stuff, so I understand this. So he's sitting there, he's got his robe on. Now, Jesus said, go get him, bring him to me. When he went to get him, there's two things that Bartimaeus could have done. He could have taken his container, hid it under a rock, taken his robe, hid it under a rock with this idea: I'm going to put that valuable stuff where no one can find it or where I can come back to it in case this doesn't work. In case this resource stuff don't work, I may have to go back and get what I have depended on all of my life. He could have hidden it. He could have hidden it. But this is what you'll find in those scriptures. He had that robe on him. Jesus said, go get him. I said one day to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, who went and got him? I don't know if it was me or the Holy Spirit, but this is the answer I got. The one that told him to shut up had to go get him. Nothing wrong with that, is it? In your face. Hallelujah. All right. This is the second thing. This is what he did. Jesus said, go get him. The guy went to get him and said, Jesus, won't you? This is what Bartimaeus did. The Bible said he rose up and casting his garment from him, he went to Jesus. You say, what's that all about, Pastor? This is what it's all about. Bartimaeus said, I've depended on you all my life. I've needed you to keep me warm. I've needed you to keep me out of the sun. I've needed you to help supply my needs. But from this day forward, I don't need you anymore. He was the man that would not give up. He was the man that kept shouting. He was the man that said, I won't need yesterday's resources. I have found myself a brand new resource. What am I saying? Folks, giving up is not an option. Giving up is not an option. I declare to you in Wasco, California, that Jesus is passing by your house. And whatever your need is, you can get your need met. You can have revival that'll shake up hell. Stand to your feet all over the house and give the Lord a hand clap right now, because he is God. He is God. He is God. He is God. Never in my life have I been impacted quite as strongly as I was the day the Holy Spirit brought that revelation into me. And he said, look what he did, son. I preach a sermon sometimes called The Road to the Miracle, and it involves this. The only way you get a miracle is quit depending on yesterday. Quit depending on what was. You know what? I've served God since I was 13. I was not raised in a Christian family, per se. As far back as I can remember, I've gone to church. I was not taken. I went. But I got saved in the little Assembly of God church when I was 13. And at 14, I was called into the ministry, preached my first sermon at a little Assembly of God church in Columbus, Georgia. And I must admit, it was a lot shorter than this one was. Okay? But so it's been a long time. It's been a long time. I've seen God do things that is just so supernatural, and I praise God for it. And I don't put that in the past tense and leave it there. I'm telling you that same God is still alive today. He sends me all over the nation, and I've been in the past few years, it's mostly camp meetings and Bible conferences and all those kind of things. And I preached here at your Southern California camp meeting several times in Central and North and all this stuff. He sends me to all those places. But my cry now is this. God, restore the power back to the church. I love your building. I love your facility. I knew Brother Sister Ross. I knew Brother Bo. I knew the Rosses for years. You sat on the council in your Southern California district. We've had dinner together when I do the county meetings. And so, matter of fact, I preached general convention 2 or 3 or 4 years ago, and he and Sister Ross came up to me. How much they enjoyed it. Matter of fact, he invited me to come and preach for you when John and I were down in Santa Paula. I just never had a chance, okay? But I love it. And I praise God for your buildings. Let me tell you this. Now, we've got a beautiful facility. I'm telling you why. God has blessed us with a great facility. All this kind of stuff goes on. But this is not what I'm craving. I'm not craving beautiful buildings. I'm not craving beautiful chairs and carpet and all that. I'm craving the power of God. I eat it, I sleep it, I breathe it. I do a lot of teaching and preaching from the book of Haggai. I don't have time for that, but maybe sometimes. Where God said, how do you see the church now? First he said, is there any here that remember the way it was? How do you see it now? You see, your life will never rise above your vision. You will never rise above the way you see yourself. I see myself as victorious. I see myself as an overcomer. Now, the only way I'm an overcomer is I have to rule this stuff. But that stuff doesn't rule me. I rule the stuff. That's the overcomer. But I found out something. John Rhodes has to forget what he depended on to sustain him before Jesus came. I cannot depend on yesterday's objects. It's over with. I say to this church, I say to anyone sitting here, anyone ill, anyone sitting by the wayside, turn loose of everything you depended on in the past, because a man is passing by the way today. He shot my tongue. He's passing by. If you're here and you're going through struggles or hardships, and we're going to, you know, I'm not going to rush it, but I'm not going to linger it out either. You're going through a difficult time. You've had a hard time in your life, or here recently there's just stuff that has been happening in your life, and you want to overcome that stuff. And today this message has resonated in your spirit. Give it up. It's not an option. And you say today, Pastor, I want that to resonate so deep in me that nothing will ever take it out. Tomorrow may not be any better. The next day will not be any better, but I guarantee you it will get better. It will. If you're going through any struggle, I want to do a corporate prayer, whether it's 1, 2, 3, it doesn't matter. I'm not caught up with numbers. All right, whatever your need is, you want to let it be gone, just come and stand up front as their ministry. All right, as the Holy Spirit will lead them to minister. If there's anyone at all that wants to be prayed over, step right now and just move into the altar. All right, God bless you as you're making that choice.
Receive
it in the name of Jesus. All right.
Everybody has somebody that can release faith. Can release faith. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Akahoshi. Right now. Right now. All right. Those of you standing behind someone, rest your hand upon them and let them begin to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, give it up. It's not an option. In the name of Jesus, give it up. It's not an option. Lord, in Jesus' name, you see this group of people. You see what they're going through. You see what they're faced with. In the name of Jesus, we cast behind us what we have depended upon. And right now, in the name of Jesus, we put our faith in you. Eko Osha. Yeah, Lord, you're doing something right now. You're doing something right now. Elabo Osha Kahai. Libro se te kesa hande. Libro se kesa. Oh,
the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great
are you, Lord. But here's the victory. Not a victory any longer. Here's the victory right now.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great. praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath
in our lungs. So we'll pour out our praise. We'll pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
It's your breath.
Been blessed by Dad's ministry. You just give him an awesome.